thank you guys for leading us in worship. But we have a great set of musicians, dedicated people who lead us every Sunday. And a lot of work goes into that. It doesn't just happen naturally. It just doesn't come together suddenly. These guys put a lot of not just effort into practicing and rehearsing, but believe me, they put a lot of heart into it. A lot of prayer and spiritual preparation goes into leading us on Sunday morning. And so for all of you guys, thank you very much for just what you do and what you give to us each week. Well, if you will, take your Bible and turn with me to the book, the Old Testament book of the Exodus. This is the second book from the beginning of your Bible, right after Genesis. The book of the Exodus tells the story of God's deliverance of his people out of bondage. You're probably familiar with it. Features a man named Moses, probably the key figure in the book of Exodus. And this historical account of God's faithfulness is the man Moses, who God chose out of obscurity to lead his entire people, to do many mighty miracles, to have the power of God flow through him. This man named Moses spoke face to face, word to word, with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine that? We don't relate to God in that way, but Moses did. And we're going to look today at a conversation between Moses and God. And I want to do so in the background, with the background of all that's happened this week. I don't know if you're like me. If you watch the news, I watched the news, and you couldn't help but seeing this week and hearing and reading and every way you turned. Just about events in our country and political events, and you saw the scenes with me of the Capitol building and all that was transpiring there. You've heard the rhetoric and the aftermath of all that. But one thing I've seen over and over again, if you're on social media scrolling through, or someone may text you something, or you may get an email, I've seen over and over articles and pictures and just descriptions that say something along these lines. We need to turn back to God. America needs to turn back to God. Something like that repeatedly has been the sentiment this week among Christians, among God's people. And I wondered, as we got ready for this Sunday, what does that mean? I think we agree with that. I think we agree that most of us here need in some sense to turn more fully to God. There's no one here who's perfect. There's no one here who's got it all figured out, who just in yourself you're ready for heaven because you've checked everything off your list. We all need in some sense to turn back to God. And as a nation, as the Christian church in this country, perhaps it's true that in a big way, in a profound way, we have drifted away from the Lord and need to turn back to him. This could be true in a grand scale, on a national scale, but it also could simply just be true of some of you sitting here today. You could need to turn to the Lord. What do we do? That sounds good. We could put it on a bumper sticker, but what do we do? As we look at this conversation between Moses and God, I think there's a pattern laid out here for when we need to turn back to God. I want to look at that together today. How do we turn back to God? Exodus chapter 33. You'll need your Bible. It will be on the screen, but I would love for you to be able to lay your eyes on your text in your hands. And I think it's a good thing and a healthy thing. If you don't have a Bible in your life, we have some in the back on the table in the entryway. They're laid out there. You can't miss them. We want you to take one home with you. We don't want anybody leaving here today without a reliable copy of God's Word in your life. Those are free, and we'd love for you to have that, okay? Let's look together at this story, but first let me give a little bit of background. What has happened is God's people have come out of slavery in Egypt, and God has led them now to a place called Sinai, where he has called Moses up to the top of this mountain. And there at the top of this mountain, the presence of God came down in a mighty, in an indescribable way. The Bible says that the smoke from that place went up like the smoke of a kiln. This is a fierce flame that puts out smoke under pressure. You think of just black smoke just churning up into the sky. The presence of God was there on that mountain, and Moses was there. And God gave Moses a list of 10 commandments. And with the power of his own hand, God etched those in to the stone and sent them back down with Moses to guide the people of Israel. They weren't slaves anymore. They didn't have taskmasters. God gave them some laws for their own good. When Moses went back down the mountain, he found that the people of Israel had sinned gravely. And I mean gravely. They had done what was just despicable in the eyes of the Lord. And Moses took those tablets in a moment of anger and reaction. He threw them down and they were broken. And so God is angry with the people of Israel. His faithful hand had rescued them from their enslavers. He had done mighty miracles, splitting apart a sea so that they could walk across on dry land. His glory had been visible to them. And in the moment of time that it took for Moses to commune with God on that mountain and to come back down, they turned away just as quickly. And God was angry. And so we see Moses now in a place called the Tent of Meeting, a place that he would set up where people could come to this tent of meeting and they could experience the presence of God. And Moses was there. And when it was Moses and God, it was person to person. It was face to face. It was the two of them. And that's where we find ourselves today. God has said to Moses, because of this sin, listen, I'm still going to send you all to the promised land. A great place. I'm still going to send an angel with you to defeat your enemies there. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land rich with goodness. I'm not going to forsake my promise, but guess what? I'm going to send an angel with you. I'm not going with you. The Lord told Moses, I'm not going to go with you unless I go with you and destroy you. The judgment of God would have come on those people. And so let's read a little bit from Exodus chapter 33, primarily from verse 12 to verse 23. But I may start in verse 1 and fill in a little bit there. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. When the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. Moving down to verse 12, Moses now is at the tent of meeting in the presence of God. And Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. This is God speaking to Moses. He has said these things to Moses. He has said, bring up these people. Moses said, but you haven't given me what I need. He has said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Verse 13, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, God, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. What is Moses doing here? He's turning back to God. What has God said? God has said, I will not go with you. In the sinful state that you're in, I will not go with you, lest I consume you. Moses is interceding and asking God to consider going with them. He's doing it using God's own words. If I've found favor in your sight, please show me your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for a man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. That's a crack or a hidden place in the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. How does Moses turn the people of Israel back to God? How is it that Moses is coming before the Lord in this moment where it has all fallen apart? Is it all fallen apart in your life? Are you distant spiritually from where you once were? Do you remember the time when you were close to God, when it was a feeling of intimacy and personal walk with God, but you know it's far from you now. In fact, it's so far from you, you're not even unhappy in that place. You've gotten used to it. You're comfortable there. You're an adult. You're grown. You can handle it. But you haven't sensed God's presence in a long time. As a nation, as God's church in this Western world, are we so comfortable in doing things our own way that we have relied on figures in our life? That's where we'll get our favor and our glory from. That we've relied on institutions, that we've relied on flags, that we've relied on other things besides God. Has it all fallen apart? Do we need to turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, show us your glory? If that's you today, let's look at these four ways, these four steps of turning back to God. Four questions when you need to go back to the Lord. The first question is this: what has God said? What has God said? It interests me that Moses, at the very outset of this prayer or this petition to God, he goes to God with what? What's his source of argument? What's his appeal in this moment? He goes to God with God's own words. He begins by saying, Lord, you have what? You have said this. God, I'm about to ask you something, and I'm going to do so not on the basis of my emotions or my wants, not on the basis of circumstances on the ground and around us or at the U.S. Capitol or in my family or at my workplace, not on the basis of that, Lord, on the basis of what you have said. He said, God, you have said, bring up this people. You have said, I know you by name. God, there's a relationship there. You love us, God. You have said that we have found favor in your sight. If we found favor, and if it's true what you have said, Lord, then I'm about to ask you to restore us. I'm about to ask you to deliver us. Moses approaches God with his own words. If you've got kids, you've experienced this before. You ever taken your kids to Walmart? As soon as you walk in, what do they ask? Can we look at the what? The toys, right? They want to look at the toys. They're trying to pin you down with an answer, right? They're like little lawyers, okay? They're in there. They say, can we look at the toys, Dad? You say, sure, we can look at the toys. You know why you say it at that moment? Because you haven't experienced Walmart yet, right? You're just walking in, and you go in Walmart, and it's crazy, and people are everywhere, and listen, they're going this way on the that way aisle, right? That's bad news. And so you're in Walmart, And there, it gets nuts. You want to leave, and you're on the way out, and your kid says what? Dad, you said we could look at the toys. You ever told your kid you're going to get an icy or go look at Christmas lights or anything like that? They remember that specifically. They don't remember when you tell them to eat their corn or clean their room, but they remember if they're going to go get an icy. They remember if they're going to get to look at the toys. Dad, you said. Moses comes to God with the words of authority from God's own voice. The Bible takes this very seriously. Listen what the Bible has to say in other places about the word or the spoken mouth of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says this. This is going to come to pass because what? The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's all but assured. In Isaiah 55, God says, so shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose it, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. Numbers chapter 23, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. No, he has said it, and he will do it. Or has he not spoken, and he won't fulfill it? Ezekiel chapter 12, God says, for I am Yahweh, I am the Lord. I will speak the word that I will speak, and what? And it will be performed. There is power in going to God with the words that he has spoken. There is power in appealing to the Lord in his own words. There is power for the appeal, and there's also power for the person. Have you ever gone to God in prayer with a deep need and just been praying out of your heart and you can't find the words, but you go to the Word of God and you begin praying what you see there? You might say, Lord, you have loved me with an everlasting love. Lord, your hand is mighty and your arm is outstretched. You might go to 1 John and say, Lord, you have said that if I confess this sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, I don't deserve it, but you have said. Do you see that? There's power in the words of God. Go to God's word. Maybe one of the reasons that the church in America has drifted from where we ought to be, maybe one of the reasons that our pivot back toward the Lord is such a long one now, is because we will not go to God's word. We will not in our daily life make this a part. There's just not time. You know there's not time. We won't do it. We won't go to God's word. We won't make it a part of our lives. We won't pass it down to our kids. We won't have it in our programs. We won't go to God's word. There's power there that we're forsaking if we don't have that in our life. The number two question here. Four questions when you need to turn back to God. What has God said? What has he said? You need to know that. What are God's ways? Number two. Moses says something profound here. And he says, Lord, now therefore, if it's true what you say, God, you've said this, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways. This is not just a request, it's an urgent request. It's a plea. Please, Lord, do it now. Show me your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Moses pleads for God's favor based on two realities of their relationship. The first is this. They belong to God. There's an established relationship there with God. He says, consider that these are your people. These are your people, Lord. I brought a picture I want to show you today. This is a picture that I took several years ago. Maybe we only had two kids in, it looks like. And I had done a shoe polishing session on the back porch and had my shoes and Olivia's shoes, and then you see those small ones are Jackson's shoes. Just kidding. Anyway, those are girls' shoes. There's the shoes that I polished on the back porch of our house, and I got them all lined up there, and they look so good. I thought, I'm going to take a picture of this. You know, it just reminded me of our little family and you know, just a good feeling. And so I took this picture and I've kept it. And I look at it, it reminds me that every foot that belongs in each of those shoes, guess what? They're mine. Right? They belong to me. There's a relationship there. Moses comes to God and says, if it's true what you said, keep in mind, Lord, these are your people. That there's a connection there, God. God does not need to be reminded of this. God's not awakening to this reality. But Moses is relating to him in this way. Lord, don't forget, these are your feet. You've led them out. You have loved us, Lord. There's a connection between us and you. And the second appeal he makes is to their nearness to God. Lord, I know I will find favor with you. If I have found favor, I still want to find more favor. I know I'll find favor if you let me know you. If I can know you, if you will show me what? Your ways. He wants to know the ways of God. And the way here means like a road or a course a ship would take, a passage, a canal, a channel. Show me, Lord, what are your ways? Those are the ways I want to go. I want to know you, and I want to find more favor. And so there's a connection, just like the shoes here, but there's also a nearness to God that Moses appeals to. He says, Lord, I know you. I'm like you, Lord. I'm following you. My son Jackson and I, years ago, had a septic tank problem in our backyard. I've told you about this before. It was disgusting. And we had to dig down 5 feet deep in the yard and find the leak. And we found it. And before it was over with, we were both covered in, let's just call it mud. We were covered in mud and everything else. We were 5 feet deep. And the stuff was so soppy that we would stick our feet in it and pull our foot up and our shoe would come off. We'd have a sock hanging there in the air. It was disgusting. And when it was all said and done, he and I both were just covered. At the top, it was starting to dry. It was cracking. And at the bottom, it was wet and gooey, you know. We smelled. We were tired. We stood there together, and you could tell we had been in the same place. There was no question. You might look at our blonde hair and other things, and you might say, they look like father and son. It looks like that there's a connection there. It looks like they might belong to one another. But you look at the state of us, and you said, they've been in the same place too. That's what's happening here. Moses says, Lord, we belong to you. Would you please go with us into this place you're sending us? Lord, don't send us without you, because we're yours. And Father, if you would do it, if you would show us your ways, Lord, we would know you. We would even have more favor than just belonging to you. We would go where you go. The world would look at us covered in the glory of God and say, they've been where God has been. Do you want to turn back to the Lord today? Does this church need to? Does this country need to? Let us go before God. Let us say to him, Lord, I appeal to you based on what you've already said. Lord, I appeal to you and I say, God, don't forget, we belong to you. And Lord, if you would again, by your mercy, show us your ways, we'll go there, Lord. And we'll find favor in your sight. Well, I know you should go back to God. Everybody's saying it this week. They're creating memes about it. They're emailing about it. Turn back to the Lord. What do we do? Ask God what he said. Ask God what his ways are. Number three, ask God where he's going. God, where are you going? Verse 15 and 16, I love these two verses. He says to him, if your presence, this is Moses speaking, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Now this is astounding, because the place they are is a wilderness. It's a nothingness. It's a place you don't want to be. And God has promised he's leading them to a place that anybody would want to be. The promised land, milk and honey. It's going to be a great place for the people of God, a place that he has prepared and is going to see it through, that they can go. They're in a place they don't want to be, going to a place that anybody would want to be. And Moses said, God, if you won't go with us, then do not take us there. Don't take us where? The promised land. Moses, but it's promised. Don't, Lord, we don't want to go without you. But there's abundance there. It's flowing with milk and honey. Lord, we'll stay right here in this wilderness. Why would you want to be there? No, we don't want to be here. But we'd rather be here in a place of pain with you, God, than to be there in a place of promise without you. We need to get our heads around that. That's amazing that Moses would say this. He is not willing to go from the wilderness to the promised land without the Lord. He doesn't want to do it. Lord, please don't send us there if you won't go with us. It matters who's with you. It matters who's with you. And perhaps in your life, you've been living in a place that by appearances is full of promise. Maybe in our country, we've been clinging to things that through our history, we've sung songs about and told stories about that were seemingly a grasp of promise for us. And maybe we've come to a time in your life, in our country, in the church of God, maybe we've come to a time where it seems like there's promise there, but the Lord is not there. Let me tell you, it is better to be in a place of pain, a painful place with the presence of God, than to move anywhere else without him. What if the Lord's saying today, we're saying, Lord, mend this situation. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to mend it, but I'm going to go with you. Lord, there's trouble here, and we don't like trouble. Bring stillness. Restore what we like, what we're accustomed to. And the Lord says, I'm not going to restore that, but I'll be going with you. Will we be happy in that place? Will you be happy if what you're asking for your marriage doesn't happen right away, but God says, listen, I'm working through it. I'm with you through it. Will we be happy if what we're asking for our kids, for our job, for our world, for our future, if we want a certain thing and God says, that's not what's going to happen. It may be a painful place, but guess what? I'm going to be with you. This was Moses' attitude. He said, Lord, we'll stay here in this nothingness with you rather than go to this place of promise without you. Where is God going? That's the question. That's the question we ought to ask. So often we're trying to pull heaven toward where we want to go. Heaven, Lord, do this. Doesn't this seem good, Lord? There's nothing wrong with it, God. Heaven needs to be pulling us. Lord, where are you go? Where is your presence? That's the question. Where's God going in the relationship with this boyfriend or this girlfriend, with you choosing your major or your minor? Where is God going with this opportunity for Christian service when you've got a lucrative offer on the table over here? Where is the Lord's presence? Where is he going? The last question is this. How is God different? How is God different? How is he other than you and me? Moses asks something. He needs one last thing. It's like there's just one last morsel he needs from God. And abruptly, he asks it. Suddenly. There's no flourishes here. There's no please and thank you. No courtesies. There's no development like the rest of this. It's like Moses knows the conversation's drawing to an end, but he's not satisfied without asking one last thing, and he blurts it out. And here's what he says. He says, please show me your glory. I mean, that's a remarkable request. Please show me your glory. And the amazing thing here is that God does it. Moses knows that what lies ahead is going to be very difficult. There will be times when he needs to remember the glory of God, that it supersedes other things. The main thing it supersedes is he himself. Moses needs to know in his moment of weakness, in his time of crumbling, when his joints won't hold him up, when his spirit is breaking, he needs to know that his glory is not what matters. It is the glory of God. When he faces the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites, when he goes there and he sees their glory, they had glory. You know they had glory. He needs to know there is one more glorious than those enemies. And so he blurts it out and he says, Lord, please show me your glory. It is important to Moses that God is something that he is not. God is more than Moses. You know this if you've ever been to a doctor's office for something serious. You've sat there and the doctor's told you, we're going to have to treat this. We're going to have to go in. It's going to take several visits. It's going to be radiation. It's going to, whatever it is. And there you sit, little old you, in this vulnerable, broken moment, in that doctor's office visitation chair, cold, lacking warmth, just you on that little pad of foam with the fluorescent lights and the doctor. And he looks at you and he's telling you what he thinks is best. What are you looking at? You're looking at the diplomas on the wall, right? You're looking at how he's dressed. Is there a mustard stain from a hot dog on his little coat, right? Or what school did he go? What school does that say on that diploma? How many is he board? Is there a board certified? Is he certified? Is that on the wall? You want to know the glory of this guy. You want to know how qualified he is. You certainly want to know that he is different than you. That he can do things that you cannot do. And that he can do them well. And so in this moment, God passes by the man Moses who is asked to see God's glory. Moses is basically saying, God, please show me how you're different than me. How you are something that I am not. Let me see your resume, Lord. Let me look on the wall. Show me this. And God answers in three replies. Here's what he says. He says, I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to let my goodness pass by. Goodness in this sense doesn't mean virtue. It means fullness. My kid's grandfather has what he calls a bag of goodness at his house. Every time they visit, he gets out before they leave the bag of goodness. It's full of little trinkets and toys, things he's picked up. They get to choose something from the bag of what? The bag of goodness, right? There's no virtue in there. There's no holiness in there. There's stuff in there. And so God passes by Moses and says, I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to show you my abundance. You're going to get a glimpse of all that I possess. In this created universe, you're going to get to see my storehouses and my love. You're going to get to see things beyond your imagination. All my goodness, all that is going to pass by you, Moses. Lord, I'm going to need that. Times are going to be hard. If we're going to turn back to you, Lord, times will be hard. If you're going to turn back to God, guess what? Sin's going to be knocking on your door. It's going to be hard. If the nation's going to turn back to God, that's going to be hard. If the church at large is going to turn back to God and practice faithfulness, then listen, I think in the days ahead, we're going to learn what it means to face opposition. If we're going to do it, we're going to see it. I'm going to need this, Lord. I need your glory. Well, let me show you my goodness. You're not going to believe it, Moses. What kind of God I am. And also, let me tell you my name, the Lord. He says it just like that, right? He says, I'm going to tell you my name, semicolon, the Lord, Yahweh, the eternal God, his name of unending power, his unbroken name. This is the eternal, unchanging God. Listen, Moses, I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to share with you my name. It's the Lord. It's me. We have God's goodness. We have his name, but we also have his promises. He says, and listen, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. What does he mean there? It's not what you think. It's here's what God is saying. God is saying, the one to whom I'm gracious, they will have graciousness. God is never gracious to anybody and it just misses. You know? It just, God said, I'm going to be gracious to you. And it just kind of, oh, sorry, I missed. God, if I'm gracious, if I fix my grace on someone, guess what? They're going to have the grace. When I'm gracious, I will be gracious. He says, I'm going to have mercy on whom I have mercy. He's looking at them and he's saying, listen, when I have mercy, it doesn't go into nothingness. When I give mercy, it is given and it is received. When I give mercy, mercy is got. That's how God works. His goodness, his name, and his promise are all a part of his glory here. This is what he shows to Moses. This is a part of God's resume here as you look on the wall. Maybe God's looking at you this morning and he says, you need to come back to me. And you say, Lord, it's going to be hard. In fact, I can't do it without you going with me, Lord. Show me your glory. God says, listen, I've got a resume. You put it in your pocket. We're going to do this together. I know you. You belong to me. You can live a life with God beyond what you're able, what this old body's able to do. You can do that when you submit to the one who can do more than you're able. You can't do it on your own, but God can. I heard this week, just in the aftermath of what took place at the Capitol, I heard political figure give an interview, and here's what they said. They said, this is the Capitol building of the United States. Said, this should never have happened here at our Capitol. This is the crowning glory of our nation. You might look at that Capitol and that big dome that goes up and those wings that go out and the inaugural platform every 4 years and the majesty of it. You might look at your job or your paycheck or your 401k. You might look at your kids and how very successful they have been. What a source of pride they are. You might look at your nest egg, your security. You might look at any other thing, a person, a president, a senator, an election, a machine. You might look at it. And for so long, we've been able to taste the glory there. When it breaks, we look back to God. We look to his glory. Is it time to take a look at the real glory this morning? The glory of God? Let me show you my goodness. Let me tell you my name. Let me give you my promises. If it's time for you to turn back to God, you can do that this morning. You can do it today. And I promise you, you won't be disappointed. Let me pray for us. In just a moment, I'd like to offer you a time of response. Let me tell you, that can happen right where you're seated. These final few minutes are not just so we can tick the time away and dismissal's coming soon and we know what comes next. These moments are for you and God. And so right where you're seated, if you would, just be in prayer to this God that we've talked about today. This God of glory, this God of mercy, this God who has a connection to us, this God who loves us. And maybe today you need to respond in a different way. Maybe you need to set your feet on the aisle and walk forward and bow the knee and say a word to God in a special way. something different than you've done before because you need something different than you've had before. Maybe today you'd come for salvation and say to the Lord for the first time, God, I need to be saved. I am in my sin and I need to be forgiven and I need to have you for eternity. We welcome you to do that this very morning. If you need to come for some other reason, we'll be happy to stand with you. Lord, thank you for the Word of God and thank you for trusting it to us. There's not a person here. There's never been a person since 1874 in this church who's worthy of these things, who ought to handle these matters, and who by virtue of what or who they are should be accepted by you. It has never happened. So this morning we come to you gratefully and humbly, not on the basis of our goodness, but of your glory. Your glory is shown best in the bloody cross of Jesus Christ and in the vacant tomb where he now reigns with you from heaven. So, Lord, we want to give you our lives in this new year, this 2021. Is it going to be better than the last year? Who knows? Does it matter, Lord? Let us put our hope and our trust. Let us find our glory in none other than you. Let us turn back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you're invited to respond.